And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here. Move the Sticks, a little takeaway podcast, Buck, and we have a little breaking news as we're sitting down in the studio.
Wow, it never stops in the National Football League. The news is always ongoing. Man, the Cleveland Browns fired.
You weren't surprised, though, were you?
I mean, I wasn't surprised. I was kind of surprised on how it all went down, but the Cleveland Browns today relieved Hugh Jackson of his coaching duties. But not only did they relieve him, they said, hey, take Todd Haley with you. Yeah. I think that's the biggest surprise. The biggest surprise was I thought it was a tug of war between the offensive coordinator and the head coach. The head coach loses. Todd Haley would be named either interim head coach or he'd just kind of stay as the offensive coordinator. But the Browns were like, no, both of you guys are out. We'll figure it out with somebody else. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of offensive coordinator, but with a young quarterback, I just can't imagine how he feels today walking into the building knowing I don't have my head coach nor my offensive coordinator going forward.
Yeah, there was a couple different movies that pop into my head real quick. You remember The Rock? You remember the movie The Rock? Did you ever see the movie The Rock with Nicolas Cage and Ed Harris? Where there was a scene there where Ed Harris tells his men to stand down, like, we're not doing that, and then they go, no, sir. And basically, like, you've been relieved of your duties. Like, I kind of just imagined Hugh walking in and being like, you know what, Mr. Haslam, we got to move on from Todd Haley. That's it. He goes, well, actually, we will do that. We will do that. But one other thing. So that was the first thing. And then there's a scene in Hoosiers where Gene Hackman, like, kicks all the people out of the gym. And the guy's still sitting there. And he goes, yeah, you too. And he storms off. He goes, leave the ball, George. that was the scene I was thinking of.
So that's what he told Todd Haley. Yeah, hey, leave your place.
Because then I imagine this is so bad, but I imagine Todd Haley going in there and being like, hey, Mr. Haslam, give me a little fist bump there. We got him.
Here's what we can do.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do from now on. I'm chain practice. No.
Yeah, no, you're done too.
You're done too.
Anyways, there'll be more information that'll come out on that. I don't think, you know, look, this is going to all be about hiring the right guy around Baker Mayfield going forward. And I do think they'll reach out to Lincoln Riley. I think that'd be the first phone call. I don't think he'll do it. Do you?
No, I mean, why would he?
He basically came out and said, I'm happy, and he should be happy. He's making a ton of money, and he's going to win there in that conference for a long, long time with all the power and all the control. The other college names I threw out, David Shaw, I'm sure they'll make that phone call. But the one that I kicked around, I just have a little fun. And I just, you know, I know Buckeye fans don't like this, but Jim Harbaugh, Buck, he's got that thing kind of turned around.
See,
how about the quarterback that he's winning with right now?
He can clone.
He can get a better version of that and go to the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, it would be nice. The only reason why I can't see that marriage working, Jim Harbaugh and John Dorsey.
You've been around both of them.
Yeah.
They're both unique now.
I love Dorsey,
but he's unique.
They're a little different. They're a little different.
Jim, everybody knows, is unique.
I just wonder, with Jim Harbaugh coming off the San Francisco situation, would he want all the control and all the power?
I would think he probably could get that somewhere.
Yeah.
He won't get it in Cleveland.
I don't think he could get it in Cleveland, so I just wonder. But then here's the thing that I wonder. Who is the hot coaching candidate?
There's not a great list.
Like who's the hot offensive
You'll
mind?
You'll hear DeFilippo be thrown around.
I mean, I guess,
LaFleur,
but he was in Cleveland before.
That's what I'm saying. It's not great. That's why, to me, like, John Dorsey, if you've been around John Dorsey's, and everybody saw him on Hard Knocks, so I feel like everybody kind of knows who he is. I think Mike Munchak would actually fit with him.
You think?
And Munch has done a great job with that Steelers O-line. Now he's and that's an area, when you watch the Browns play, they're terrible up front on the offensive line. Their personnel is better than what they're playing with. I mean,
oh no, no, he's done a great job.
He'll toughen this team up, which they need.
And the bigger thing is, who is going to be the guy that he's able to get to help elevate the quarterback?
That would be the challenge.
Like the thing would be, in his interview, he has to bring an offensive coach, a quarterback coach, someone that is a hot name, someone that can get it done. And I'm going to be honest, when I look around the league, I don't see a lot of guys. Like, I don't see a lot of quarterback gurus.
Well, here's the thing. Here's a challenge. Like, you know, I'm around this Chargers team who offensively is outstanding. Coach Wisenhunt's had two bites at the apple now. Will somebody give him a third bite?
Yeah, that's tough.
I don't know if that's going to happen. So then you look at, you know, I've seen you on Twitter talking about Kansas City with Eric Bieniemy. Now, is he going to get the same love that Nagy got?
Oh, but you know what?
But then I don't know the dynamic with Dorsey, because obviously Bieniemy and Andy are very close, and Andy and Dorsey kind of had their falling out. So how does that all work? But I can also go back and look. Remember Philadelphia? after they had let go of Andy, ended up hiring an Andy disciple to come back in there and won the Super Bowl with Doug Peterson. So there was no hard feelings there.
No, they weren't. Will they even look even deeper? I mean, I know their quarterback coach. Ah, man, it's just so hard. I'm just trying to figure out.
We're thinking this through on the fly, by the way. As you listen to this, this literally just happened.
Like, who are the connections? And, like, normally when I look at Dorsey, the connections would either come from
Green Bay,
the Kansas City tree, or the Green Bay tree. There's not a brilliant offensive mind in the Green Bay tree, unless he just kind of goes.
You know what, though? You know, we saw the Packers lose, right? If the Packers go on and are unsuccessful this year,
Mike McCarthy
could be available.
You know, here's the funny thing, and I was going to tweet this, but I'm glad I waited, because when Green Bay was winning on the Rams, I was like, you know, it's hard to find a coach that wins 65% of his games, which is what Mike McCarthy has done. And I know everyone in Green Bay wants to run him out.
I'm just saying, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I think there's a legit chance he's out.
Yeah, because I'm sure Goody wants to get his own. Every general manager, they want to get their own head coach. They want to get their own guy. But be careful, because when I look at the pool of candidates, it is definitely not a nice pool this year.
All right, well, that's our first takeaway here. This is, again, not knowing what we do. We talk about our takeaways from the games. So we'll get to some more takeaways here in just a minute. But listen up. If you bet on sports, then you need to check out sportsinformationtraders.com.
John Price at sportsinformationtraders.com is the man that can help you make money this football season. John Price knows the lines better than anyone else in the country, and he specializes in line movement and value. So when you sign up with sportsinformationtraders.com, you get the best lines and premium information before the public does. He can help you up to 5 times your investment in just 90 days. Go to sportsinformationtraders.com right now and learn why John Price is the only sports wagering analyst with a weekly feature in Forbes magazine. If you want to win, give Sports Information Traders a call at 866-441-2711. That's 866-441-2711. Simply call and ask about the 90-day special. John Price is a proven winner, and he has been among the best for years with documented success in the Las Vegas Sports Super Contest.
Just call 866-441-2711 or go to sportsinformationtraders.com, 866-441-2711 or sportsinformationtraders.com. Watch football make money. It's that simple.
Alone in the shotgun, Goff takes a snap. He throws right seam. Caught Reynolds at the 7. He goes in. Diving for a touchdown. Josh Reynolds for the second time today.
All right here, Buck. We look at that game yesterday. It was a fun one to watch with Rodgers and Goff. That was a classic duel there at the Coliseum.
Classic duel in the Coliseum. Two quarterbacks, you want to put the ball in their hands. And even though offensively both teams got off to slow starts, I think in the second half we saw the greatness of both players. Aaron Rodgers always does what he does. He can attack the defense when you give him open opportunities. And then Jared Goff continues to play like a guy that is just kind of growing into the role of being an elite quarterback. I love the way he distributes the ball, used all the playmakers, but it also helps when he has a guy like Todd Gurley behind him.
Yeah, and it was interesting watching the tape this morning, Buck, because I thought that Mike Pettine did a pretty good job. They sent a lot of pressure at him. They mixed up their looks. There were times where they just rushed 3 and dropped 8. But they got home. I think they got to Goff about 5 times in the game. So they generated a lot of pressure on him, made things more difficult on him. But some things that you watch, man, they have a night. They have so many, I call them like rhythm throws, where it's almost like a shooter. Like, one thing about McVay is he does a nice job of getting Goff into a comfortable rhythm. A lot of times it's simply off a little play action to the right, and it's that little throwback slant to the left, Buck. It just curls right behind the linebacker. It's a back foot in the ground rhythm throw, and it seems like those types of throws, you see Goff start getting comfortable, and then he can start dealing.
Yeah, I mean, they just do a great job of scripting and putting him in his comfort zone. He had a stretch there where I think he missed 6 or 7 straight throws, but they found a way to get him back in rhythm. And the beauty of the run game and the way that the Rams play is they always have the luxury of being able to lean on Todd Gurley when the quarterback is struggling a little bit. His ability to make plays as a runner but also as a receiver really kind of steadies this offense. I like what I'm seeing for the Rams. I do believe the Packers kind of exposed their defense a little bit on the edges. We'll see if they can shore that up. They need a key to lead to come back. But right now the Rams are hot. They're rolling.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them. They're scheduled this next. They're in a 4-game stretch now. They got the first one there with the Packers. I believe they go to the Saints next for the Rams. So it starts to get pretty interesting. They're in the meat of their schedule. We'll see how they do facing off against some of these elite teams. But it will be fascinating to see in the NFC North going forward with the Packers That division's still wide open, even though the Packers, you could make a case, have been playing under their ability level. The Vikings stumble. We'll get to them a little bit later on. But that division's still wide open with the Bears playing pretty good football. The Lions inconsistent. So we'll see what happens there. All right, let's get to the next takeaway.
Wentz gives it to Josh Adams. Up the middle he goes to the 30, 35, 40. And Josh Adams with the best run of the day. A 21-yard gallop by Josh Adams, brought down by Jalen Ramsey.
You know, after struggling a little bit on offense, let some late lead slip, the Eagles have rediscovered their running game, and they need that running game to be able to salt away leads. When I look at the stats, they finished with 133 rushing yards, 28 rushing attempts. You balance that out with Carson Wentz having 30 pass attempts, they're almost at a 50-50 ratio. That is the kind of stuff that they were doing last year when they finished with the third-best running game. They were able to kind of pound the ball with Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount. Now, they don't have those kind of guys in their backfield, but Josh Allen Adams is certainly good enough to give them a presence. And Wendell Smallwood, even though he only had 8 carries for 24 yards, just enough, and you mix in some Carson Wentz runs, it has been enough to kind of steady that offense.
And it's kind of sneaky when you look at Carson Wentz, what he's done this year, Buck, when you look at his numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Over 70% of his pass, almost 70.7, 13 touchdowns. He's protected the football in terms of interceptions. Only got 2 picks.
Yes.
On the year, it seems like we almost kind of forget. They haven't been playing great. They haven't finished games. They haven't closed out some games. But I went back. When you watch it, there's plays where he's got bodies hanging on him, falling down to the right, and he's making throws across the field to the left. He is outstanding. And as long as he's there and they can keep him upright and healthy, if they can just get into the tournament, I wouldn't want to see him.
It's very similar to what the Atlanta Falcons had experienced a year ago. They stumbled and kind of scuffed their way into the postseason, but when they got into the postseason, they go on the road, they beat the Rams. They really gave the Philadelphia Eagles a game until the very, very end. For the Philadelphia Eagles, you're at the halfway point, and you're 4-4. You're in a nice position. You go 6-2 down the stretch. You're sitting at 10-6. You end up getting a decent seed. I like what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing. Doug Peterson was under a lot of heat for kind of abandoning the run. The fact that he stayed with it says a lot about him and where he knows this offense needs to go. I like where Philadelphia is positioned, even though they're still having to chase a Washington Redskins team that's a little better than we thought.
They got the pass rush heated up a little bit too, and you know, look, we're not going to continue to beat a dead horse there on Blake Bortles. He's not good enough.
He is what he is.
He's not good enough. All right, let's get to the next takeaway.
Colts are 7 out of 10 on third down. They hand off to Marlon Mack. Mack runs into the end zone. Touchdown! Marlon Mack, a 4-yard touchdown run, and it's now 28-27. Marlon Mack over 100 yards with that run. 101 yards today on the ground. Back-to-back games with 100 yards for Marlon Mack, the first Colts running back to do that since 2007.
Got the run game going, and one thing, Buck, we have not seen Andrew Luck get a chance to have this type of protection. I tweeted this out after breaking that down. He got knocked down one time in that game. He was completely untouched on 24 of the 31 pass attempts. And of those 7 where he was touched, I mean, you're talking about brushing him. I mean, that barely even touched him. The pass protection was outstanding. They ran the ball there with Marlon Mack. People said, it was the Raiders. Oh, don't get carried away. No, trust me. This Colts line for so many years, the opponent didn't matter. Whoever they played was getting pressure.
Yep.
And this is now 3-4 weeks in a row now where they have kept him pretty clean. And when he's clean, we're reminded just how good Andrew Luck is.
Look, hats off to Frank Wright and what they've been able to do with this team. Better yet, what they've been able to do with this offense. When I look at this team has been balanced. They're running the football. Marlon Mack has back-to-back 100-yard games. But in the third game against the New York Jets, he had 12 carries for 89 yards. And this is a team that has won 3 out of their last 4 games. And if you go back and you think about the decision that they made against Houston when they went for it, I mean, arguably you could talk about a team being on a 4-game streak or winning 4 out of 5 games. The big thing is they invested in their offensive line. Obviously, they took the high pick, got a Nelson inside to put him at guard so they can be a little more physical. They've changed the way this passing offense is. The ball comes out quick, a lot of quick rhythm throws, and they utilize the tight end. So when you use the combination of running backs and tight ends, Andrew Luck to be more efficient. You're right. They are heading in the right direction. I'm not saying they're getting in the playoffs, but I think you can see the arrow pointing up for the Indianapolis Colts.
And they got some speed on defense. So it's exciting to see, and glad to see Andrew Luck back out there doing his thing. All right, what's next takeaway?
Robinson to the outside. Mahomes steps up, crossing pass. Sammy Watkins, 10. Angling right, 5. Sprints into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Sammy Watkins tastes the sweet nectar of the end zone for the second time in this game.
Sweet nectar. I like it.
The sweet nectar of the zone. How about this? I mean, I know there were a lot of people.
So happy.
I mean, there are a lot of people.
Happy.
There are a lot of people that were laughing and snickering when Sammy Watkins got paid. He got $16 million. Oh, my God. How could you pay for him? But look, Andy Reid was trying to recreate the offense that he had in Philadelphia probably when you were there, when he had DeShaun Jackson and Jeremy Maclin and all those guys. He likes to have a lot of weapons available for the quarterback. And we can talk about Pat Mahomes, and Pat Mahomes is right now the runaway favorite to win the MVP. But a lot of it is about how this team has been built to allow the quarterback to succeed. They got playmakers on the outside. Tyreek Hill didn't have a big game. He still had 70 yards. Travis Kelce working the middle of the field. But this day was Sammy Watkins' day. And when you think about this team and how are you going to stop them, I don't know, because they're like a video game offense. They have everything that you could want. Sammy Watkins is going to be an X factor for the Chiefs as they get down the stretch.
Yeah, look, it
you should be happy you had a big grade on Sammy Watkins coming out.
He was my second-rated player, but I haven't seen the same guy at Clemson.
Well, you saw it today, so today is the day – it would be a perfect day for you to tweet out an old report on Sammy Watkins.
Oh, I should do that.
Like, this is the day that you do it.
Nobody needs to know that I banged on the signing. Nobody needs to know that. People don't pay attention, Buck. We can get away with that kind of stuff.
Oh, like, you should do it.
All right. I think we got some other business to take care of here. G Suite is a suite of cloud-based productivity tools that includes Gmail, Docs, Slides, Sheets, and Drive. These tools improve your work life, both in terms of your experience and the outputs you create. Hence their new campaign, Make It with G Suite.
You know when you have 20 identical versions of a document labeled Final and no clue which is the latest? So you make another version and name that one Final Final, right? Well, with G Suite by Google Cloud, a range of work apps like Gmail, Docs, and Slides let you make real-time updates to the same document without having to keep track of version after version of a project. And since all tools are cloud-based, your whole team can access the same document and work on the same page at the same time.
To find out more about G Suite's productivity tools, visit gsuite.com. That's gsuite.com. Make it with G Suite by Google Cloud.
The fake to McCaffrey. Newton's going left to the 10. Newton to the 5. Cam Newton has taken it home.
Houdini. Nobody saw the football.
And Suggs is saying, look, who's supposed to be out there? It's the corner that's supposed to be out there. BCR, which is bootleg, contained, reverse. And Cam Newton steals one. An easy touchdown. And Suggs is upset and saying, corner, where's my help?
Was that your old teammate there? Was that Eugene Robinson?
That is Eugene Robinson. Eugene and I played together with the Green Bay Packers. He is the voice of the Panthers. Obviously, ended his career with the Carolina Panthers. He knows a lot about what they have going on there. And I think the big thing with the Carolina Panthers, I think we have to talk about them being for real.
Yeah.
This was the number one defense coming into town, the Baltimore Ravens, and they took them apart. And the way that they did it with Cam Newton being efficient, a style of play that I didn't think we would see from him. I didn't think we would see the day where Cam Newton would complete 21-29, be very efficient, throwing, have two touchdowns, but also continue to be a factor as a runner with Norv Turner calling the offense. But that's what Norv Turner has done. He has made him a more efficient, more effective playmaker, and I think the Carolina Panthers offense is benefiting from it.
And selectively aggressive, I would say, running the football, picking his spots. I thought they did a nice job kind of mixing that in, not overdoing it, but something that the Baltimore Ravens had no answer for. And then Joe Flacco kind of laid an egg in this one, was not his finest moment.
Nah, it is. And the more we get around this, the more people are what they are. Like, they don't necessarily change. And so we can get excited.
I feel like I've changed, though, because I'm wearing a three-piece suit in here.
I mean, I like that. That is
hot.
That is nice.
This is Browns breaking news. I had to get ready a little bit early.
I know.
I saw you in my sweats.
I saw you in the VO booth giving your take, talking about all the coaches that could be in play.
Oh, but it's hot in the studio. Kent, man, we're a little toasty in here.
It is a little warm.
Yeah.
It's a little warm.
I mean, I feel like I got back from England. I tried to bring a little England home. Threw the vest on today.
Yeah, we'll have to let him know to put on the AC next time.
There we go. All right, let's get to the next one here.
Takes the snap and looks upfield. Good protection. Fitzpatrick throws a deep ball. Downfield toward Mike Evans. Evans at the 30. Takes it in to the 20, 10, 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Ryan Fitzpatrick and that Fitzmagic thing going. This is a ball game now.
Yeah, Fitzmagic did make this a ball game, and probably got the quarterback position back. I mean, Jameis Winston, Buck, went back and watched it this morning. There was another ball that was dropped. Should have been picked off. Could have five picks. Ended up having four picks, including a pick six. Ball sailing on him. Not seeing underneath defenders, which when I go back and look at stuff we talked about in the run-up to that draft, remember that down in the red zone at Florida State? Had some interceptions down there. We did not see those buzz defenders underneath. Mm-hmm. Preston Brown got him one. So some of those things, you haven't seen the improvement. Now, the frustrating thing is I could clip off six throws he makes in this game and you just wow throws and get you fired up and think, man, he's got a chance. But at the end of the day, when you look inside this division, Jameis Winston, who did not start the first three games due to suspension, has 10 interceptions. Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, the other three quarterbacks in that division have combined for 7 interceptions. You can't turn the ball over like that. You just can't do it. And I think it's going to cost him his job. I don't think I would imagine we'll see Ryan Fitzpatrick. Look it up right now. Kent, look it up. Get on your computer. Homework. Look up. And you have to just do quarterbacks because sometimes they put other stats in that are goofy with players. Quarterback rating. Who's leading the NFL in QB rating right now? I think.
Oh, it has to be. Surprised. It has to be. It has to be Fitzpatrick because he was leading it coming into the week even though he hadn't played. Like he's.
Yeah, looking at it now, so you have, if I'm going to wipe away some of the receivers, it is Ryan Fitzpatrick,
119.3,
Breeze is 118.7, and Rivers, 117.8.
he's got to start, right?
I mean, we can say whatever. He's averaging 310 or whatever. And look, I've been one of the biggest James supporters, but at the end of the day, like, ball security is paramount, and you have to win games. I think the toughest thing right now, though, because it would appear to be an easy decision to say, look, let's just go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. We're trying to win games. We need to give our guys every opportunity to win. But here you are, head coach and GM.
Oh, yeah, job's on the line.
This is where you have to see who's in lockstep. Because if I'm the head coach has to be like, oh,
I got to win games.
I got to win games. But if I'm Jason Light and I'm the GM.
You want Jameis to shine, to come back and rebound.
I mean, you would like that, but you're number one. I think this is the deal. I think the best way to go about this is to say Ryan Fitzpatrick, like, man, do what you got to do. We got to win games. You got to hope that we can get to the finish line. We got to see if we can win games because if we don't win enough games, we're not going to be here anyway. Mm. So if I'm the GM,
that's the only answer.
I just have to check my ego at the door and just say, like, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick, go do your deal. We're going
to maybe win us enough games. Get us to 10 wins, man.
Get us to. I mean, I don't know what they're sitting in there. What are they? 3-5.
Believe so.
They have to be 3. I think they're 3-5. And the thing about it, they're 3-4. Man, you make
still
the move
alive.
Now.
Yeah.
Make the move now.
Get to 10-6.
Win enough games. And then go and try and save yourself in the draft. Go draft another one or whatever. Put Jameis on the shelf. Figure it out or whatever. But I think the reason why the turnovers were bothersome, but this is the first time that in watching the game that I saw Jameis, the body language, and I saw the lack of confidence.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can repair that. I don't know if you can fix that because everyone can be like, oh, no, I'm okay. Because I'm sure there have been times where you may be thrown an intercept. You're like, hey, guys, I'm all right. Yeah. But you know deep down the cellar, I'm not okay. Yeah. I really don't want to. And I think for him, I think he has the yips. I don't know if he can bounce back from this real quickly. I mean, 4 interceptions, that's a lot.
Yeah. Turn the ball over too much. All right, let's get to the next takeaway.
Russell's going to throw back shoulder. Moore makes the catch. He is in. Touchdown, Seahawks. The snap throw back shoulder to the youngster David Moore, who tipped it up in the air and tipped it right to himself in the end zone from 15 yards out off the top of his helmet, and the Seahawks score again.
You know, DJ, this is funny, but the Seattle Seahawks are rounding into form as a title contender, and it's funny because they got an MVP-caliber quarterback, but what they're asking them to do is less is more. Fewer pass attempts, fewer passing yards, more wins for the Seattle Seahawks. His totals when it comes to passing attempts per game, passing yards per game, are the lowest since 2013 and 2014.
He hasn't thrown it 30 times in a couple weeks now.
Coincidentally, that's the last two times the Seattle Seahawks went to the Super Bowl. They are a team that when they've been at their best, the run-pass ratio has been over 50 when it comes to run-pass. So they're running the ball. Chris Carson has been a nice find for them, had 100 yards. Mike Davis has given them the number two. And I know everyone is like, where's Rashad Penny? But at the end of the day, you got to play the guys that are productive. They are running the football. And I never imagined that Brian Schottenheimer would be the guy that could lead an offense that looks like, not that it's dynamic, but it looks like it has the makings of being a winner. But right now, the Seattle Seahawks look like they found their stride, found their identity.
A couple different things watching that tape. The back shoulder throws.
Hit
more a couple times on some back shoulder throws, 3 times in that game. Other thing is they mixed in some 6 offensive linemen looks, which, by the way, so Fant comes in as the 6 offensive lineman.
Nothing wrong with that.
He ran a route, Buck. There was a tendency buster. They ended up, I think it was like a boot, but he's 74 is lined up at the end of the line on the left side. He's running like a deep over route. Because I've watched the tape, I'm like, who the heck is this? No, he's eligible. It was and they did that several times. They kept him in pass protection. They did a nice job on some boots. They aren't nakeds, because they're keeping Doug Baldwin as a number three, and he's kind of pinching on the end so that Russell has time to get out. There's another time where they bring another receiver inside, motion him inside the tight end and the tackle, and he makes it a six-man protection by staying in there. So they're being creative. I give Schottenheimer credit because a lot of people – you know, kind of crushed him and said he's living in the past and this is not the way the game's played anymore. But he's found a way to protect Russell Wilson, run the football, and they're winning football games.
Man, you run the ball. I know the league is a passing league, but we're finding out that the teams that can run the ball always have a chance to stay in games and win games. I think the Seattle Seahawks have found their identity, and it's about being a run-first team because it helps them on offense, but it also helps their defense not exposed as much.
Well, hold on now. Before we get to the next takeaway, because I have to almost find this thing. I'm going to find this video so you can see this big dude running. It is hilarious. I know people can't see it on the podcast, but you can. Oh, here it is right here. Hold on, Buck. Look at Fant here. Watch this little route right here. Here he goes. He's lined up on the left. I mean, it's like a nice deep over right there.
A little bootleg.
Yeah, give me the ball.
He's at the, like, hey.
He's a former tight end, so he's got that in his background.
Hit me.
Wide open.
How about that? Very creative.
Go ahead.
Cousins drops back, looks right under pressure, throws it, intercepted at the 45. P.J. Williams, 45 yards on the return, and P.J. Williams in the Saints defense with a huge play here in Minnesota.
Saints defense starting to come around a little bit, making some plays. We saw Marcus Davenport late in the game, saw that pick six. To me, though, watching this game, Buck, and rewatching it this morning, the biggest play in this game was with 1 minute and 11 seconds to go, up 13-10, first and 10 at the 18-yard line. Mm-hmm. Adam Thielen catches a little smoke screen. He's down about the 10-yard line, fumbles. Long return right before half, Kamara scores. That was a 14-point swing. You're talking about it being 20-10 versus down 17-13. That was a huge momentum swing.
Huge momentum swing. It was a game changer. Like, I mean, you can't have those kind of plays at the end of halves because it affects the momentum, it affects the score, it affects so many different things. I think the bigger thing is what you talked about. Saints defense finally.
They got some guys. Show.
They got some guys. I think picking up Eli Apple certainly helps. Also, the underrated aspect of that signing, you put him in the secondary with his old team.
Oh, so half of three of the four Ohio State guys.
Marshawn Lattimore, Von Bell, having those guys around. Because remember, at that time, he might have been the elder statesman. So he kind of gets back. He's comfortable. He sees some friendly faces. They can pump him up like, hey, man, you're the dude. You need a little more swag, a little more confidence. He played well. Man, the Saints. The Saints are the one team that I look at. They can play any style.
Yeah.
They can grind it. They can light it up. They can play defense. They can play offense. This is a tough team. It's going to be a tough out for somebody.
Rams next week. That's going to be fun. Game of the week. Can't wait for that one. All right, let's get to our final takeaway.
One on the play clock, handoff to Adrian Peterson, through a hole, 40, 45, 50, up the sideline, 45, 40, to the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Adrian Peterson all the way!
Finally, yes! Adrian Peterson bounces one. It was inch by inch all day, and he takes it to the house.
Hey, man, I think we might have written my man off.
A little premature,
you know, We said, oh, that's the last sign of life. You know, he had a little surge early in the season. We're like, oh, I can't even sustain it. But DJ, when you look at the numbers, like, he's close to having, like, in the last five games, he's had 120, 97, 99, 149.
How about that?
I mean, he is dusting it off. This is almost like John Riggins in the middle of the 80s when he came back and he was an older player and he kind of led them to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that the Washington Redskins can get there, but he has been the perfect fit for their offense. Bill Callahan wants to play a power style. They get a power back. They come downhill. They've been able to protect Alex Smith. Alex Smith is just basically handing the ball off to 26, and they are just controlling the game, and their defense is playing good.
The defensive line is playing really good. Ioannidis was great with some inside pressure. Deron Payne's doing his thing. Jonathan Allen's been disruptive. Kerrigan, they've got a good, really good defensive front.
In a league where the ball is flying all over the yard, you're seeing these outlier teams. These teams
that are Seattle playing, and Washington.
They're playing like 1980s football where they're leaning on the running back. They're grinding it out, and they're making it tough.
Alex Smith doesn't throw for 200 yards, did he?
No. No, I mean, you just –
he doesn't throw for 200 very often.
No,
I mean,
we're just going to do –
run the 20, ball.
He was 20 for 32 – 178.
Pull up his game logs. Pull up Alex Smith's game logs.
I bet you in those wins, he's not throwing it much at all. Let's see what we have right here. DJ. In their wins.
Give me their wins. Just their wins.
Their last four wins, 220 163, 178, 178. The game that he had 275, they got blown out by the New Orleans Saints. So,
how great is that?
No, but there it is. And I think
it's a formula. We talk about it, though, right? The formula. Find your formula. It's different for every team.
Different for every team. Okay. So, right now, it was suggested the pitch count for him is right around 30 to 31. He threw it 46 times against the Indianapolis Colts. They lost. He had 292. So, right now, it just says, like, conservative, allow the run game and the defense to set up the scoring opportunities and just take care of the football. That's what he's done. I'm looking. He only has two interceptions on the year. Washington is well-positioned. They're sitting at 5-2.
Well, here's the deal. That's our 10 takeaways. We could do a little happy chat here to finish things up. I do want to remind the folks, NFL.com/MTSvideo, YouTube.com/NFL for our videos. But I don't really think we should do a happy chat, and I'm going to give you a reason why, Buck. Because Marcus is waiting to come in here, and as a USC alum, there's some pent-up anger in there, and I'm not looking to tick him off. I'm really not. I don't want that fight. I don't want that fight. He's like a caged animal back there.
I think we've gone from anger to just resignation at this point.
That is beautiful. All right, let's get out of here, Buck. Anything else you want to add before we bounce?
Nah, can't wait. Can't wait to talk about all this other stuff on the pod tomorrow.
All right, there we go. More pods coming your way. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.